Well, good morning, everyone. It is fantastic to see you here today. Merry Christmas. It's such an awesome time for us to be celebrating together, singing together, enjoying each other's company, but being reminded, really, of the amazing message of what Christmas is all about. So if you have your Bibles, please keep it open to Isaiah chapter 9 as we look at this promise of the difference that that Christmas makes. Because Christmas is, in fact, it's like the pivotal moment in all of human history. Christmas is the moment when everything changes. And we even acknowledge this with our calendar. We're about to enter the 2020th year since the first Christmas. Everything before that, the years before that, we count backwards because they were all leading up to that moment, to Christmas and the birth of Jesus. Year one started when Jesus was born, because his birth changed everything. You see, God had promised ages beforehand that his birth would change everything, and it did. And so even as we look to our future, our own personal futures, but also the future of the world, what's going to happen in the midst of uncertainty and doubt, in the midst of even fear sometimes facing the future, we can know what lies ahead is so much better, so much more glorious, so much more joyful, because that first Christmas happened. Christmas changes everything. It changed human history and it transforms people's lives. So the part of the Bible that we're looking at this morning, Isaiah chapter 9, is spoken by God through his prophet Isaiah like 700 years before Jesus came. It's a promise. It's a prophecy of how everything is going to change. And in the first part of this passage, there are four amazing ways that the future is described. Four amazing changes that God promises will come with Jesus' birth. Firstly, God changes gloom into glory. He changes darkness into light. He turns weakness and distress into the joy of victory. And he changes oppression and slavery into freedom. So have a look there at verse 1. It starts with, "Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, to Galilee of the nations." See, God's word here is talking about how his people in his land experienced gloom and distress. They'd been humbled. They'd been defeated. They'd been scattered and weakened. But in the future, he says, a time is coming. God is going to bring glory. God is going to bring honor. God is going to end that gloom. And he specifically mentions Galilee by name. And you know what? Galilee is Jesus' home territory. That's where he grew up. That's where he lived. That's where he moved from to begin his ministry. Galilee is Jesus' place. And so this is foreshadowed even more change coming in verse 2, where we read, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." The people living in Galilee, the people living in God's place, see a great light. That's a big change, isn't it? When dawn comes, then all the darkness and the fear and the cold disappears. A whole new day, a whole new start, new possibilities, darkness and fear. And God is promising a new beginning for his people, a time to live in his light, a time to live in the knowledge of his truth, in the light of life and of goodness. That is what is promised will happen at Christmas. Light will come into the world. And as it comes, thirdly, we see, verse 3 says, "You have enlarged the nation, increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing the spoils." The land that was gloomy and distressed, the land that was in darkness and despair, God promises to enlarge that nation and increase its joy. The people will celebrate and rejoice. And the images used here are the way people rejoice in harvest time. And in a drought, that joy feels distant, doesn't it? But even last night, after our Christmas Eve service, our 5:30 service here, we're all in the backyard enjoying a sausage sizzle. The kids have got pockets bulging with lollies. And it started to rain. And you know what? Everyone cheered. That doesn't often happen. It's a backyard barbecue. And everyone cheered. It was just a bit of light rain. But imagine if it was real, lasting rain out on the farms. Imagine if it was rain that put out all the fires and filled all the dams and grew the crops. Imagine the joy and celebration if it meant harvest time happened and everything had grown and the crops could come in. That would be huge, wouldn't it? And the other image here is the day of victory, the joy, the day that you win the battle. It's like the images that you often see of people in Sydney at the end of World War II. You know, the shots of people just filling George Street in the middle of the city. And there's that guy dancing down, just dancing with joy in the middle of the crowd, in the middle of the city, because for years there had been conflict. For years there'd been bloodshed and loss and sacrifice, but now the war is over. Now it's not just over, it's victory. And it's peace. And that is the joy that God promises his people. That is the joy he delivers at Christmas. Christmas changes everything. And it flows into the fourth change where it says, you have shattered their oppressive yoke. The rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor. You shattered it just as you did in the day of Midian, that day of victory. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire to keep people warm. These verses describe how God's people experience being set free from having an oppressive yoke that tied them down, a rod on their shoulder and a staff that forced them to do what they didn't want to do. Those things are all shattered. The chains are cast off and they're set free. The enemy is defeated and all weapons are destroyed. God promises real freedom. And in the end, all of those four things, they're all a way of describing the same thing ultimately. The joy and the freedom, the light and the glory, the victory and the blessing of Christmas. This is what you experience when you give your life to God, when you accept him as your king. This is describing what it's like belonging in God's kingdom and being part of God's family. This is the transformation that God promises to shower on his people. But the question is how? How will he do it? How does he change what his people are going through? How will he actually defeat all the enemies in the world, like evil and death? How will he overcome all the darkness in the world and remove all our sorrows and distress? Well, in the most unexpected way, verse 6, all of these things happen for a child will be born for us. It's not really what you expect to hear, that all of this good news, all of this glory, the light, the joy, the victory, the nation enlarged, prosperity and freedom and peace, it all comes through the birth of a child. That's exactly what verse 6 tells us. A child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. What this means is that the birth of Jesus, centuries after these verses were written, the birth of Jesus is really the arrival of the promises of God. He's no ordinary child. He's the child that was promised to bring all of God's blessings. But you see, the passage says he's more than just a child born. A child is born for us, a son is given to us, but he is the ruler. He is the king. It goes on, the government will be on his shoulders. The authority to rule, the authority to reign is going to be on him. And so verse 7 says, his dominion will be vast. The prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom and bring righteousness and goodness. The birth of this child is the birth of the ruler who will accomplish God's plans, God's purposes, God's promises. This is the king who has the power to turn gloom into glory, to bring the joy of victory, to turn darkness into light and bring peace and joy and freedom. So when he arrives, that changes everything. This child who is the king. But you see, he's even more than that, Isaiah 9 tells us. A child will be born. He will rule and reign and have the responsibility of the government. But more than a child, he's a ruler. More than a ruler, he's God. Verse 6, he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The child who is born in the most ordinary of circumstances, the one who will rule perfectly, is in fact God, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Advisor and Counselor and Guide and Shepherd. That's why Christmas changes everything, because God came down, because God became one of us. God entered our world and he entered our suffering and our pain, and he is on our side and he loves us. Our perfect creator became a human being so that we could know him and we could experience his blessing and forgiveness. So when he promises to make a real difference in our lives and in the world, he backs it up and he gets it done and he does whatever it takes. He comes down as a baby to grow up to be a man, to die and rise to change everything. This Christmas, if you would open up your heart for God to come in, he will turn your gloom into glory. He will change your darkness into light. He will give you the joy of victory and transform your oppression and hardship into freedom and hope. Because the child has been born and the government is on his shoulders and the kingdom will never end. And this child who grew to be this king, he's our God. This Christmas, Christmas changes everything. This Christmas, let God change your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your promises made centuries ago that you would change everything. Father, thank you so much that in Jesus, in his birth and in his death and resurrection, you have fulfilled all of your promises. And thank you that we, by trusting in Jesus, can have transformed lives, transformed futures, because you change everything. Thank you so much for this gift that you became flesh in your Son Jesus, that we might know you and experience your love and freedom and forgiveness. We pray that we celebrate this amazing occasion. In Jesus' name, amen.